It says, then one of the Pharisees, which is Simon, asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner this woman is, who's touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will you love more? Simon answered and said, I suppose one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sinners? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. One thing about this story, the Lord gave it, he just set this in my heart Thursday night, because there's so much to this story. There's so much to this lady that comes into this room. She's a sinner of the town. She's a sinner in Bethany. She's probably a prostitute. And she comes into this place where she heard that Jesus was there. And she just walks into the room. She heard he was seated at the table. Seated at the table meant he was reclined at the table. They would recline, not sit down like we do. The table was probably about this high, and he would lay down to one side or the other, and he would recline. And she stood behind him as his feet are and weeping and then drying his feet with her hair. There's something about the woman's hair is glory, right? There's a glory that covers them. She undone her hair and began to wipe the dust, the tears away from his feet. And so there's so much to this story that even Matthew writes it in Matthew 26, and even Mark in Mark 14 also writes about this lady. One thing that it doesn't tell you in Luke that Simon was a leper. He was a leper. When you read the other places in Scripture that he was healed of leprosy. Much was given for him. Healing happened in his life, and he knew Jesus, and he invited Jesus into his house to come and recline at his table. Who knows about this lady? They say her name was Mary. You know, some say it was Mary from of Lazarus and Martha, but probably not. It says she was a sinner. She was a sinner, probably a prostitute in the land. How do you know she did not visit Simon's house before? See, we don't know these things, but we know that Simon said, hey, in his mind. He never spoke it out with his word, but Jesus heard it in his spirit. He said, if he had only known who this woman is, he would never let her touch him. And you know one thing about Jesus? He lets us all come to him. We all get to come to him. There's so much to this story that I can only get, and just a short part of Scripture, but there's so much that we need to gather from this, and I can't even touch on all of it. But I do want to touch on a few things today is giving everything. Have you gave everything to the Lord? And I'm not talking monetarily, I'm talking have you gave everything to the Lord? When you were saved and when you come back into fellowship or however it was, when you came back into fellowship with the Father, did you really surrender your life to Him? Did you really give up everything for Him? How much love did the Father lavish on you that you responded back in a way that revealed how much you really love Him? And then we think about, you might not, but I think about it's like, okay, I've been walking this Christian life for the last 20 years, and I was raised in a church, which you know, and kind of fell away, but always knew God was real and always knew Jesus was the Messiah. But still, I did not live my life for Him. But when I came back into fellowship with Him, see, because God never broke, if you read the sign, anybody read the sign this week? You got to be kidding me. We are changing the signs, just so you know. And it says that sin will not break covenant. Sin will not break covenant with the Lord. So during that season of my life that I was not following God, I was still in covenant with Him. But what sin does do is it breaks fellowship with Him. And I was not in fellowship with the Father. That will be on the sign next week, just so you know. So if I ask you again, you will know. But sin breaks fellowship. And so during that season of our life, of my life, I wasn't praying to the Father. I wasn't. Because see, when I was a child, He didn't deliver me from anything. I was already going to church. I was already in fellowship with Him, not knowing I was. But I was in fellowship with Him through my parents taking me to church, through Sunday school, and having that interaction and giving my life to the Lord, getting baptized, all that stuff. I was in fellowship with Him. But in my older years or teenage years up to the 20s and early 30s, that I broke fellowship with Him because of sin in my life. But God never broke that covenant with me. And so now, when I come back to Christ at age 33 or whatever it was, 33, 32, somewhere in there, When I came back to Him, I began to surrender my life to Him. Did I break the alabaster jar? I don't think I did. But I did begin to give everything to Him. I began to give my time to Him. I began to spend time with Him. And see, sometimes we as Christians, as we've walked out our Christian life, how many, you know, you got 50, 60, 50 years in walking with the Lord, maybe all your life, maybe you've never walked away. But what I'm saying is where are we at today? Are we in the same place where it's, you know what, just the same humdrum church? Are we excited still for what Jesus done for us? Are we still excited that we would lay down or break open an alabaster jar or an expensive thing that would cost, it was basically cost a year's worth of wage? Do we only have to do that one time or do we do it all our life? Giving everything. Once she opened the jar and broke the seal, she poured it all out. She just did not just, some of us probably, turn me down just a little bit. I got a little bit of a back feed on gain. She was not going to put it back in the bottle. You got me? She wasn't going to put it back in the bottle. She said, I came here and I'm going to give it all to you, Jesus. I'm breaking it. I'm not putting it back in the bottle, but I'm giving you everything. There's probably things that we don't know, and maybe in the spiritual realm that she heard the Father speak to her to anoint Jesus with this precious oil for this week that he was, or this time frame up until the cross, that he would have smelt just like the perfume. See, even we hold stuff back. In our worship this morning, did you hold stuff back? Do you really extravagantly worship the Father? Do you really get down to worshiping Him? I mean, each of us have been through maybe a tough week, maybe an easy week, or whatever it's been. We've been through things this week. We've read our word. We've done our stuff. We've studied. We've prayed. We've sought the Father. Maybe you pour yourself out at home, and maybe you just lay it all out before Him, and you come to church, and you don't have to. But do you really give everything to Him? Do you pour it all out? See, there will be people that will mock you. Even the disciples mocked you or mocked her. See, there will be people that will mock you for giving everything. The world will see you as different. The world will see you, we were in a restaurant last Sunday, I believe. We was in Fountainette Tavern, okay? So some of us went to the tavern, if you didn't know. We went to go eat. We did not drink. We drank water. Some of us drank water. Some of us drank tea. But I heard, and I don't know if anybody else heard it, and they said, well, there's a group of, how'd they word it? I didn't say it to anybody. I even told Tabby. But I heard them say, there's a group of prayer people or something like that. And it's like, whoa, really? But that's how the world mocks you as a Christian. All we did was prayed before dinner, prayed before we ate. We fellowshiped. There was no foul language coming out of our mouths. We fellowshiped in joy and happiness with each other. But people see that as negative as a church people. As you pour yourself out, as you just be yourself because Christ is in you, people will mock you. Then if you get to in a place of extravagant love for the Father, what do you think people, even the church people, will mock you? Look at that person up there at the altar every Sunday. What are they doing up there? What are they trying to show up, whatever? Even in the church. Why is that person at the altar all the time? Why are they getting prayed for all the time? What's going on? Why do they have to do that all the time? They just want to be seen. You think the disciples and the people around Simon's table that day when she came in, what do you think they thought when they seen this bottle? This alabaster bottle comes from Jimson. It comes from the caves. Very expensive stuff, okay? Just the bottle itself was brilliant white. It was a whitish color. So they would have seen her carrying this alabaster jar in. Sometimes they say it could have been translucent so you could see the perfume or the fragrance inside. It cost a lot of money just for the bottle or the jar, the clay jar, to put the expensive perfume in. The nard came from the Indias and came from the Himalaya Mountains. Up in high altitude, they would go and get this and bring that back to the Middle East. Expensive stuff. And the Jews used it for embalming people, not embalming people, but getting them preparation for burial. What does she know that no one else knew? What does she know that no one else knew that she got this bottle, real expensive bottle, and I believe that in Mark it says that she broke it. The seal was broken, and she broke it, and she poured it all over his feet and all over his head. But before she even did that, she came into the place and stood at Jesus' feet. Humility was in her spirit. How many of us have that humility in our life? How many have that humility in our Christian walk that we could stand before Jesus' feet and begin to cry over them? Extravagant love. Extravagant love. See, the disciples were looking at the carnal nature of things in the room. They watched her walk into the room. Wow, we know her. Probably some around the table have slept with her. We know who that lady is. She can be no good. Why is she even coming into this place? Came into a Pharisee's house that had leprosy and that was healed. But why did I question it? How did she just walk in? How does she just walk in? Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. He's in that week. He's in that time frame of being getting ready to crucify, getting ready to walk through the passion. And you know there's people all around. And you know that this house was probably full because the Pharisee, Simon, asked Jesus to come into his house because he wanted to discuss the things that was happening all around. He probably knew in the background that there were things beginning to take place amongst his sect of people, that they were talking about killing Jesus. They were talking about all this stuff. And here comes this lady, a sinner of all sinners, as Paul said he was. She was a sinner of all sinners. Everybody in the town knew her, and she walked in. And most likely it says she stood, but I'm going to say she knelt down because he was lying down. And I would say that the tears, because her hair probably wasn't that, I mean, it was long, but it probably wasn't leg length long. And she took her hair down and she wept over his feet and she began to wipe the tears and the dust away from Jesus' feet. And she stayed there for a time. She didn't just weep over there just a minute or two. She stayed there for a time. I don't know how long that time was, but she stayed there and wept over his feet. Why does she weep? Somewhere along the road, she knew that she was a sinner. Somewhere, something drawled her into that place. Something, she's heard him speak somewhere. She's heard the word of the Lord speak. And she came into that place because of who she was. The humiliation in her spirit, she came down and knelt and wept over Jesus' feet and washed them. There's so much more there. The disciples were carnally thinking. She was spiritually thinking in her heart. She was surrendering herself, surrendering her life, surrendering her sins. Without the spoken word, without her saying, "Forgive me, Lord Jesus," she was doing that by weeping over him and washing his feet with the glory that covered her. The glory that covered her. Is that type of worship a one-time thing? What do you think? Is it a one-time thing? I mean, I understand that what I've been through and what I've the sins that I've committed in my life, that I've repented for them and they are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that everything that I've done up until the point that I come back in fellowship with God, I believe that everything that was done has been forgiven. And I've wept over those things, and do I continue to weep over them? No, I've forgotten them. But what I do is I worship the King in a way that is extravagant love for him. And this is where we forget, because we get so, I only want to give so much of myself to him. I've been a Christian for 20, 30 years. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I've done all this stuff when I was younger. But where does it say to stop worshiping him? Where does it say to not give everything to him? I don't think it says anything about stop. Well, you can, once you've given everything to him, you can just stop and walk out your life and you're going to be fine. I don't believe I've ever read that in the Bible. I believe the Bible tells me that he will give me peace in my spirit. And that's our second thing today. Will be peace. See, Jesus will ask you to sacrifice. He will ask you to sacrifice your time. He will ask you to sacrifice monetarily. He will ask you to sacrifice in worship. But he will never make you do it. See, and at times it's going to be hard. At times it's going to be hard to sacrifice. You know, as a pastor, and I know Sonny, and even anybody that's in leadership or anybody that is a servant heart addict, has a servant heart, will be asked to do a lot of things. There's times that you will get called up while you're at home, spending time with your family. What are you going to do? Do you stop? Do you just say, oh, I'll talk to you tomorrow, I'll take care of it tomorrow, or do you do it today? See, there's times that we have to sacrifice as leaders. There's times that you're going to have to sacrifice because you follow Christ. There's going to be a need in somebody's life that you're going to have to sacrifice for. Not for sure what that's going to be, but sometimes it's hard to sacrifice. But the reward is worth the sacrifice. The reward is worth the sacrifice. Peace. It will give you peace with God. I want to go to Song of Solomon's. I didn't give this to you because it's in the Passion Translation. I just want you to listen to it. This is Solomon writing, and he's talking about the bride of Christ. This is you. This is all of us. This is the church. This is the bride of Christ. And it says, "My darling bride, my private paradise, fastened to my heart, a secret spring that no one else can have, are you. My bubbling fountain hidden from public view. What a perfect partner to me now that I have you. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you." What's he talking about? What's inside of you? Who's inside of you? Holy Spirit. This is bubbling up inside of his bride. This is bubbling up inside of the church. This is the bride. This is what the bride is supposed to look like. What a beautiful paradise unfolds within you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spices. For many clusters of my exquisite fruit now grow within your gardens. What is he talking about? The exquisite fruit. Is that the fruit of the Spirit? Most likely. But there is also an aroma to this. Exquisite fruit that grow within your inner garden. Here are the nine fruits. Pomegranate of passion. Henna from heaven. Spikenard, which is what was in an alabaster jar. Okay, spikenard. So sweet. Saffron shining. Fragrant calamus from the cross. Sacred cinnamon. Branches of sin and wood. Myrrh like tears from a tree. And aloe as eagles ascending. Now I just want to break some of these down real quick, and then we're going to finish. Pomegranate is taken from the root word that means exalted. So we're talking about the bride, okay? This is all about the bride. These are the aromas that come from the bride, okay? So it says, it's taken from the root word that means exalted. The temple pillars and the robes of the priests were adorned with pomegranate. Henna, comes from the root word that means ransom, price, or redemption. The fruit of mercy is seen in his maturing bride. This is what is seen in the maturing bride. This is the aroma. Spikenard, the root word means light. The bride is walking in the light of Jesus, is the light of the world. Saffron is the crocus. You ever seen the crocus flower? It's over there in the Middle East. We don't have them here, I don't believe, do we? We do have some crocus here. It's kind of like an Irish. It's kind of like an iris. I looked at iris because I knew when I was going over this, like I see iris sitting there. But it's part of the iris family. It smells really nice. It's called the lover's perfume. Costly and really fragrant. Calamus, the root word can mean purchased or redeemed. Cinnamon emits a fragrant odor representative of holiness to the Lord. It was used in the sacred anointing oil of the priest and the tabernacle. Then when he talked about the branches of scented wood, this is the incense burned on the golden altar in the holy place. Myrrh, like tears from a tree, Myrrh is formed by resin spice by cutting a tree. It is the picture of the love of Jesus dripping down on Calvary's tree. And aloe is considered a healing balm. And the presence of the Lord within the bride of Christ, the presence of the Lord within the bride of Christ, when she touches people, people get healed. When you are around people and you really activated, or you're really activated in the spiritual things and the Holy Spirit is really moving in you, and you are around hurting and broken people, and you walk out and you be the church, you be the bride of Christ, you be Jesus, and all of a sudden you begin to change things in people's lives. Just because the presence who dwells within you, you emit the glory of God within you. Okay? You can change situations and circumstances just because of who you are and who is inside of you. See, you emit all these things. We don't know it. We don't smell it. But I tell you what, the spiritual realm knows who is the bride of Christ. The spiritual realm, even the demonic realm, knows who is marked by the blood of Christ. The church is supposed to be a healing for people. The church is supposed to... Church outside of these four walls is supposed to be a healing for people that are broken down, brokenhearted, going through grief, going through hurts and trials, and going through whatever it is. The church can be that person for them. Iris said today when she comes into the church, she feels totally different in this place. Why is that? It's because it's all of you emitting the aroma of the Lord. It's the presence of God within you. As we come together, there is an aroma burning. When it's a hot summer day and you're driving down the road and you see the heat coming off the road, you see the heat. That's what the Lord sees. That it's the aroma coming off of the church. Could you just see all over the world and the churches are gathered together and the true church, the ones that are really emitting the aroma of the bride of Christ, could just see the aroma coming out, and he's seeing this church and smelling the fragrance of his church. And it goes on to say in Song of Solomon 4:15, it says, "You are a fountain of gardens. A well of living water springs up from within you." Listen to that. A well of living water springs up from within you. That means you're not dead. You are not stagnant. You're not just sitting in a cesspool, but you are a well of living water moving. That's so amazing because that's who we are. If you are feeling stagnant today, maybe you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord. Maybe you haven't surrendered your all to the Lord. Maybe you're holding something back. Because when we hold things back, I don't know if it's greedy or pride or I'm not sure what it is, but if we can't give everything to the Lord, our whole life, we become stagnant. We become that place of not living water, but a place of water. Is it refreshing? Probably not. But it says, a well of living water springs up from within you, right here, like a mountain brook flowing into my heart. That's Solomon writing. Is there a well living inside of you of living water? Is there that well living inside of you of living water? Luke 7:50 says this, the Passion Translation, it says, "Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life." Listen to that. Our faith in him has given you life. Now, what does that life look like? Some of you might have not noticed, and maybe some of you, have you seen anything different in the church today? See, you noticed, huh? Yeah. Did anybody else notice? Yeah. Some of you are sitting in the same seat, but sitting back further. It was gone Wednesday night. I didn't do it, but it was done. Took your seat right out. I don't even know why I said that. I know. I do know. Your faith has given you life. Your faith in Jesus has given you life. We did that so you could have some room. So you could have some room to roam around. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it, and I found it out Wednesday. I'm okay with it. For now. For now. She's listening online. But it says, Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life. Do you have life this morning? Your faith in Jesus Christ, do you have life this morning? I listen to David all the time. He's ready to rock and roll. He's ready to run around this place right now. I know he is. I know he's ready to go. But what I'm saying is are we excited for who Jesus is in our life? I mean, we got to get to that place. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how young we are. We need to be excited to have a living water that's flowing inside of us. Man, we should be excited. Sonny touched on it this morning. He didn't know what I was preaching on, but he touched on it this morning. The topic is be excited in the Lord. Be excited in what he's done in your life. This lady, she didn't know her sins were forgiven. She didn't know it. She did not know when she walked into that room, into that Pharisee's house, in an uncomfortable position, uncomfortable place. She knew all these people were going to look upon her, downcast her, and just shun her. I don't know what they said when she came in, but she came in and went directly to Jesus. And she began to pour out herself to Christ. She began to pour out herself because I don't know if she knew what was coming. I don't know. But what I do know is she poured out her soul on Jesus' feet. She wept, and she wept, and she wept. And she did what? She began to kiss his feet. Tabby? Would you kiss Jesus' feet? Okay. There is a limit. Man, I got some good-looking feet. This is a story, and I'll just go off topic just a minute. So this is way, way, way back when, before we dated. I think we went out once or twice or something. And so we go to her neighbor's place to go swimming. This has nothing to do with the gospel and nothing to do with church. And so we go to this place and right next to her house, and so we go swimming. And her friend lived across the street, so she comes over, and I'm playing baseball with her brother. So we're playing for North High School, and we're playing, and so we're all swimming. And this girl said, did you see his feet? I got a base on me. That's what I'm saying. That's what it's for. Athleticism is to be able to. Is the toes or what? Anyway, we're not going there. God gave me the perfect feet to walk out the gospel. That's what I'm telling you. To walk out the gospel. Not quite. We probably just got done playing baseball. Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. Do we have peace? Do we have peace in the Lord? All that stuff that we've been through, Jill, all that stuff that we've done, when we've laid it at Jesus' feet, when we poured it out and we've given it all to him, and we've just emptied ourselves, emptied our soul, emptied our whole life, emptied our mind, emptied our spirit, and begin to lay it out before him. And he says, go in peace because your sins are forgiven. How much peace do you have in that? Because you don't have to go back and look at the past history of what you've done. You don't have to go back and worry about what you said or what you did or how you acted. You have to worry about none of that stuff because he said, I have forgiven you. I've released you of all the sin. I've released you. This is before the cross he does this. He says, your sins are forgiven. Before the cross, before the blood was spilt, he said this to her. And it says that walk in the ways of peace. Don't worry about your past anymore. Don't pick it up. Don't carry it with you. Don't put it on your back. Let your past be past and let it move on from that place. It's okay to remember where you came from so you know how God pulled you out, because that's a great testimony to share with other people. But for you to worry about your past, to worry, oh God, I don't know if you could ever forgive me again. I don't know. You don't do that, because you are forgiven. Third thing is release his fragrance. Mark 14:3 says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper," see the Simon the leper, "as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil or spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." Different view from Mark. Mark is not as wordy as Luke. But she broke it. She said, "Uh-uh. I'm going to release the fragrance. I'm going to release it all. It was all contained in an alabaster jar." Is the fragrance all contained in you that you will not release it? Break it open and release it. She was not holding anything back. She was not worried about next week. She wasn't worried about the next day. Everything in that vial, everything in that jar, she was going to give to him. She was going to anoint him with every piece of it, every little ounce of it. She was going to anoint him. It said there was probably about a pound, 12 ounces or so of this fragrant oil in this alabaster jar. Three quarters of a pound to a pound of this fragrance. Women, you know, or girls, you know, that put on perfume and stuff like that, how much that is. That's a lot. Could you imagine before you go on a date, you take it, you just pour it over your head? Huh? Think what you would smell like. A little dab will do you, right? How much more would a whole lot? Here's what we believe. And here's what people believe, that the anointing, that oil that she put on him, the spikenard that she put on his feet, and it ran down his head. So he had his robe on, okay? He had his clothes on. And so this all ran down him, his hair, his beard, his body, was drenched in this three-quarters to a pound of this spikenard, that when he was on the cross, and they stripped him of everything, okay? They stripped him. He's on the cross. He emitted the smell of the spikenard. All of it, all over him. When he was being whipped, and every flesh, part of his flesh is being ripped away from him, he would emitted this ointment, this special spikenard smell. Do you think it was for a purpose? Absolutely. He emitted this sweet smell, even on the cross. So when we lay our lives down to the will of the Father, we should smell or emit the fragrance of Jesus. We should when we lay our life down. Do we smell like Jesus? Do we emit Jesus in our life? Do we release his fragrance? The last thing I want to say is surrender. Have we come to the end of ourselves yet? If we haven't come to the end of ourselves and we're still holding things back, then we haven't surrendered everything. We're still holding stuff. We just cracked the seal on the jar, and we begin to pour it out sparingly, because I might need it for later. So you pour it out just sparingly, and say, instead of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter anymore, I'm going to break open the jar, surrender my life, surrender everything to the Lord so I can walk in the fullness that he has for my life. Surrender. It doesn't matter who's in this room. It doesn't matter who's, wherever you're at. It doesn't matter in the workplace. It doesn't matter what you say unless you act like the world. It doesn't matter how you walk out your life, and if you're walking it out in Christ, should I say. So when I walk out into my workplace, when I walk out into the marketplace, do I emit Christ? Do I walk out in those areas of love and compassion and mercy for people? And you know, nowadays it's getting harder and harder to do that, because the world is so, they're just so brass against each other right now. In election year, it's even worse. And so there's so much going on in the world today. Can we admit and surrender our life in front of people who's ever in the room? And what I mean is it doesn't matter if you're in the marketplace or at Kroger's and you see someone that needs help and you act out Christ to them. You pray for them. You don't care who's around or who's in the room. You admit Christ to them. This is us pouring out our alabaster jar, our alabaster oil, our anointing. See, the bride is supposed to have that fragrance, right? The bride is supposed to smell like Christ. And the bride is supposed to be this adorning jewel. Are we that adorning jewel in the world? So I just want to close this morning. But I want to read Luke 7, 36 through 38 in the Passion Translation. I just want to highlight some things as we close. We are going to take communion today, so just hang around and we'll take corporate communion. It says, afterwards, Simon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Would you ask Jesus to your home for dinner? Would you be comfortable today, right now, without cleaning your house? Would you be comfortable asking Jesus into your home today? And have him over for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simon's home, he took his place at the table. Now, somewhere, I don't know how the table's set up, and I think there's a diagram of how they used to sit for the Passover meal. But there's a place that Jesus would have sat. So he is the person of the house who invited him in. He would have probably sat right next to him. He's the special guest. I can't remember what side it was on. But he took his place. He was the guest coming into the room. He took his place at the table. It says, when he went into Simon's home, he took his place at the table. Jesus reclined. He laid down and took his place. In the neighborhood, there was a moral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simon's house, she took an exquisite flask made of alabaster. She held nothing back. Filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader. She let nothing stop her. She didn't let no gates. She didn't let no door. She didn't let nothing stop her. Listen to that. She let nothing stop her from walking in. When she heard, she ran to her home. She got her alabaster jar. She filled it full of this spikenard. And she carried it and walked straight into the room. Are you willing enough? Are you bold enough to barge into the places that God wants you to barge into? Filled it with the most expensive perfume, right into the home of the Jewish religious leader. She left nothing stop her, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at Jesus' feet, broken and weeping. Broken and weeping. Are we willing to be broken? You know, I asked the Lord this Wednesday night, I said, break me again. Break me again. It's been a while since I felt the brokenness. It's good to be broke. Things happen when you get broke. You allow the Lord to move in your life. Break me, Lord. That's my prayer. Break me, Lord. Break me. Do never let me be, maybe this is your prayer too, don't never let me get comfortable in the place that I am. Don't never let me feel like, oh, this is all I have to do. But let me move in the way you would have me move. It says she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over she kissed his feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. Sometimes, and I'll just be real with you guys. I don't know what I'm supposed to bring to this service and what I'm supposed to bring to as a message. last week was one of those messages that I didn't know what God was going to do, and so I fought it all week. But the word today is trusting God. Trusting God. And there was a lady that said, she didn't tell me this until afterwards, after it was all over, but it would have gave me an encouragement in the service, but maybe the Lord didn't want me to know. But she walked into the back aisle, and she said, I was standing here, and she said, Jesus was standing right beside me. I said, why didn't you tell me that? She said, I don't know. But see, what she didn't know was the things that I was going through. Lord, I need you today. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know what you want to do. I just have these scriptures written down. This is all I know, what you gave me. Trust in the Lord because he is so faithful. Even in those moments, you need to pour out yourself. You need to break open the alabaster jar and let him move. Weep before his feet. Be broken. Be broken. See, we are the bride, and we're supposed to emit the good fragrance of the bride. In Song of Solomon, that's what he says. And so do you give everything in your worship? Do you give everything to the Lord? I want you to think about that this week, and I want you to meditate on those words. If you got to go back to Mark and Luke and Matthew, read about her. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, everyone in the world will know about this lady. How often do we preach on her? How often do we talk about her? But he said, everyone in the world, everyone will know what this lady had done. Everyone. And maybe there's some here that really haven't heard the story. Maybe some here that really have never read it and understood it. But she poured her life out. She said, "I, what I've done in my life, here it is. I don't know if you can do anything about it, Jesus, but I heard your words. I've heard who you are. I've heard what you've done. Even Simon the leper that was healed of leprosy could not fathom the love that this lady had because he thought he was better than her. And he was healed of leprosy. Leprosy that can take away your fingers and your toes and rotting flesh on his body, and he was healed completely of it, and all he did was invite Jesus into his house so he could know Jesus a little bit better. He never understood Jesus. He never understood him. But when this lady comes in, Simon says, tell me, Lord, tell me. And he gave him a parable. Who will love more? The one that has been had little to give, or the one that had everything to give, had nothing left. So meditate on that this week and just see what the Lord begins to speak to you about in that area of releasing everything to the Lord. Surrender yourself. Let pride go away. Give it your all.